Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Getting more closer into the Sweet 16 tournament games. There is something that comes up every single year at this time. And a lot of it has to do with, one, if you repeat something enough, maybe something actually will happen. And then there's the second part, which is we can't help ourselves when we get to this time of year with the NCAA tournament. We just have to get it into other things. Every year we have the college football people going, you know, this is so fun what they do in basketball. Wouldn't it be great if we did it for college football? Well, I used to hear that all the time when I was younger, back in the old days when AP writers and coaches polls actually were the ones that decided the national championships. And then we had the BCS, and I still heard it. And then we finally, in 2014, got a playoff, and guess what? I'm still hearing it. Pete Futek, who I love to death at College Football News, writes really good stuff, good insightful stuff, once again brings up the March Madness-like tournament for college football. No, it can't be 64 teams, although I'm telling you, you'll always find somebody that will make that argument. But it is time for college football to do something. We're going to examine that a little bit because he is finally coming, and it's a smart and well-thought-out article that kind of brings up the point that, yes, we do this every year. Yes, we love the energy of this basketball tournament, and we'd love to see it incorporated into the other college sport that we really, really care about. The one that is so steadfast holding on to the, but the regular season means everything to us, and the postseason, well, you know, we really need to make sure only the best of the best of the best of the best compete for the championship. It is an old argument, but it is one that is starting to get new light in a new age of college athletics, one where the name, image, and likeness rights are going to start creeping into the way the athletes do business of college athletics. So examine it. Is the 2021 argument for this any different than the years past? There might be in two ways, and I'll tell you that when we return. It is Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I am so glad you're with us here on a Wednesday morning, Sports Map Radio. Earn a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters when it comes to taking your temperature, and Exergen temporal artery thermometers are backed by more than 80 published, peer-reviewed clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. All right, so as I said at the top of the hour, we get this every year. We get so into March. We love the tournament. We love the excitement. We love the brackets. Even when they're busted, we still love the brackets. And then we think to ourselves, man, I like college sports and I like college football. And wouldn't it be awesome if I had this for college football? And it happens every single year. There's an inevitability at this time of year to start creating sort of an apples to apples comparison between two sports and two businesses of sports that really aren't apples to apples. It's, to be honest with you, it's like apples to like a cannonball. It's two totally different things. Even though it's athletic competition, they're both run differently. They're both operate differently. They both allow certain things that the other does not. And so when people just immediately assume that bigger equals better, and if we just did this for college football, wouldn't it be so awesome? No, it would not be awesome. It really wouldn't. And I keep making this argument every year to people, but I have to concede this one fact that change does have to happen to college football. It does. Because there is a storm that is coming, and that is the name, image, and likeness legislation that is coming to give athletes more power over their name, image, and likeness and how they can profit off of that. And if you're college football and you are going to be seeing the business of your sport change in that direction in terms of how players are being recruited, who's going to what program, what limitations other programs have against other programs, you're going to get a very systematic method of determining your champion, where very elite teams who can manipulate that game the right way are just constantly going to be competing for national championship, to a point where so much of the American public is going to go, you know what? I couldn't care less who wins this thing. Interest in this tournament, in the basketball tournament, wanes as we get closer and closer to the championship. It just happens. When you print out your bracket and everybody in the office gets one and everyone's filling it out and the person, I don't even like college basketball, but I'll play. There's an interest in it. People like to go online. They like to watch. They're in the offices. They're checking scores, going home and watching games. But once you start eliminating teams and teams start going home, that funnel goes down into one area, and you get closer and closer to having just the college basketball loyalists, the real diehard college basketball fans that tune in on that Monday night to watch the national championship. The same thing happens in college football. In the 6-7 years that we've had the college football playoff, I'm going to tell you something. I think it's been a failure. I think it's been an absolute failure, and it needs fixing. We're not going back to the BCS system where we have one versus two via five different computer systems. It needs to be revamped. They can't even figure out when is a good time to put it on television. They've tried a number of different ways of giving you the college football playoff. And every time, because it occurs around the holidays, we go, yeah, I'm not going to be bothered by that on New Year's Eve. Like, they tried it on New Year's Eve. They've tried it a week before New Year's Eve. They tried it afterwards. They've tried all sorts of different ways to give you this playoff. They can't figure it out because they can't capitalize on the attention span of the American public at that particular time. College basketball has created a format that allows so many people to play and participate. Here's a big bracket. Wouldn't it be fun if you filled it out just for giggles for $5 at your local office, and then you get to watch it for a little bit? Who's filling out college football 4-team playoff pools? Now, I'm not saying that filling out pools, you know, equals success. No. But what I'm saying is we watch this tournament, basketball tournament, for so many different reasons, right? One, to get the best basketball we can. Like, wouldn't it be great if Gonzaga were to play Michigan or Gonzaga would play Baylor? Wouldn't it be fantastic to see what that game would look like? And it could actually happen. But the other thing we watch for is the Cinderella stories. We like the upsets in the opening couple of rounds. We do. It's fun. It's neat. It's so fun that when you see it over and over and over and over and over and over again, you're still excited about it. It never gets old. You don't know which storyline is going to be fun, which players are going to emerge that you never heard of before, which schools you have to find on a map. It happens all the time. We never get sick of it. Now, if you were to do the exact same thing in college football, trust me, you would never see that, because the two sports are very, very different. Now, let's just say, for the sake of argument, let's go to the huge extreme, because one, this will never happen, but, you know, nevertheless, there's always somebody going, yeah, it would be so much fun if it was 64 football teams. If you were to pit Alabama against a 16 seed that is going to be ranked, I don't know, 64th out of your 64 field, or maybe even 61 or 62, that upset is never, ever, ever going to happen. Ever, ever. In fact, you could take a team that would be on the second tier, like the next four, right? So a team that's ranked 4 through 8 and play them against the 58th team and the 59th team. Never going to happen. It happens in basketball because basketball allows that to happen. It can happen. You can be cold. You can shoot from the three. You can have a game way above your expectations and pull it off. But in 60 minutes of football, that's not going to happen. I'll give you a perfect example, okay? While we've only seen 1 16-1 in college basketball, there have been a number of 2s/15s, including this year in Oral Roberts over Ohio State, all right? We've had 2 in 1 year, and I bet you didn't remember that. We've had a number of those over the last 30 years. All right, now, it's not a huge list, but it's enough. It's enough that you shouldn't be shocked when it happens. You know what makes Appalachian State football over Michigan in 2007 unique? Because it never happens. You never get a 1AA school beating a top five college football team in the regular season. Never. It just doesn't happen. I mean, I think it was Liberty once against Baylor. But these are so rare, you remember them forever. And like I told you a couple of years ago, we had two 15s over twos, and many of you probably can't even remember who they were. Because college basketball in this tournament gives this to you on a yearly basis. It gives you a 14 over a 3. It gives you a 12 over a 5 so much that you have to account for it in your bracket when you're filling it out. That's one of the rules of filling out your bracket. Find that 12 over a 5 because it's going to happen. That's the element of college basketball that college football can't replicate. It just can't. It can't give you that. I will tell you, if you play a 16-team, 32-team tournament bracket in college football, at the way college football is structured right now at the Division I level, you would just say, wake me up when Clemson plays Alabama, or Ohio State plays Alabama, or whoever the top teams are. Yeah, it might get a little dicey in the quarterfinals, but it isn't going to get dicey at all in the first round. What college football needs to do, if it wants to capitalize on this, is sacrifice the one thing it cherishes, which Americans don't care that you cherish, and that is the sanctity of the regular season. College basketball is playing this tournament in Indiana under strict COVID regulations because they left nearly $1 billion on the table last year. College football cares so much about its regular season and its value of every Saturday. That Saturday in October when your national championships are on the line in a conference game in Lubbock or Eugene or Death Valley or the Horseshoe or Autzen Stadium. Where you're like, as a fan, going, man, we can't afford to lose with six games remaining on the schedule. College basketball, it doesn't care about that. So much so, that the regular season Oral Roberts team had no business getting into this tournament. But the Oral Roberts team that showed up in South Dakota to play in the Summit League tournament, that team deserved to be in this tournament. In college football, they are desperate and trying really hard to make sure that the only teams that can win the national title are teams that deserve it from point A at the beginning of the season to point Z at the end of the season. College basketball says you actually can stink the whole season. But when you get to your conference tournament, if you turn it up a notch, bring it to 11, and win it, welcome aboard. And here's the cool thing about it, whoever you are, we won't even complain about it. America won't even care. We won't even write columns about how an outrage this is that you're there. Because the rules have been ingrained into the American sports culture public so much that when you get there by winning your conference tournament after going, I don't know, 16 and 18 during the regular season, we won't even scream about it. But in college football, you better be the best of 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 the best to even get a sniff of the conversation of getting into the four-team playoff. Maybe college football can reshape itself to, you know what, Pac-12, SEC, ACC, really duke it out to determine a champion. Why don't you do what your basketball counterparts do and make your regular season valuable in your conference schedule valuable to a point where you got to win your conference. Win that conference championship game. Maybe, just maybe, you tell college football, and you know what? We'll take you guys, and we'll throw in a couple of wild card teams that really did impress us enough. But under no circumstances will this format that you see right now in March ever work to a public that is tuning out the college football playoff because the same teams are playing in it year in and year out. So once again, you'll see the wave of articles that are coming because this is what we do this time of year. We're so excitable. This is so fun. Man, why can't we do this with every sport? So naturally, you push to college football. And maybe it is time for college football to see the landscape of what's occurring, its failure of its postseason to draw any real attention, and the fact that the name and image and likeness is going to come at it in a wave we can't anticipate the way schools and players are going to treat that. And there could be a power extension of the top, which will never be, you won't be able to reach.
Now, I know they'll never get rid of bowl games because bowl games generate too much money in a non-COVID year. But what if, I guess maybe if we scaled back bowl games and had a conference playoff?
Well, let's talk about that when we come back, because I think that's an interesting idea. All right, we're going to continue the conversation on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. What would work for college football? Is it too much to ask college football to see the landscape and change, or because it's very reluctant to do that, are we kind of screaming at the heavens for no reason whatsoever? On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test that battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I said this earlier. I think the college football playoff, since its inception in 2014, has been a failure. A failure in a way that the American public has not, they have not been able to find a large interest from the American public, and they have not gravitated towards this in a way that I think people thought. I don't think their solution was the solution people wanted, who were screaming to the high heavens that they wanted a postseason. I think it's been too controversial. I think they can't find the right place for it on the calendar. And college basketball, because it's fitting at a time. This is, look, you know, they talk about this with real estate, location, location, location. The same thing about your sports calendar, right? Where you place your sporting event really does dictate how much attention you're going to get. March is a perfect time for this college basketball tournament. You've got baseball in spring training mode, which, you know, people aren't gearing up until you get to the regular season. You've got the NBA and the NHL not in playoff mode, still in regular season mode, but, you know, heading in that direction, but there's really nothing there. The golf, the Masters isn't until April. You've got no tennis major, you got nothing. So March fits perfectly into the sports landscape, whereas, look, when you're putting your college playoff, you're trying to fit it around the NFL playoffs and the holidays. It's a mess. It's a mess. And they haven't made it. You don't get that same feeling like, oh, it's the second Saturday in January. It's time for the playoff. No, you have to go to the calendar to go, where did they place it this year? Where is the Sugar Bowl playoff one? When is that? When is playoff two? Same day, right afterwards? Which one comes first? And then the national championship is what? 13 days later? 15 days later? 20 days later? When do we play that? College basketball comes to you every March and says, here it is. 3 weeks. Get ready. Hang on. We got 68 teams, but it's going to be 16 in a blink of an eye, so get moving. And college football is like, yeah, we gave you a playoff, but we haven't really figured out, we haven't ironed out the real details of it yet.
It's broken.
It is broken.
It just doesn't. I mean,
but
you're 100% right in the fact that we narrowed down to four teams. Maybe that fourth team is a revolving door. The other three aren't.
No, the other three aren't. We literally have. Look, every now and then a Washington gets in, and that's fine. But for the most part, it's been Alabama, it's been Clemson, it's Ohio State. It's these teams get constantly that's in there. Look, Florida's never been in it, right? Has Penn State been in it? I don't think so.
No.
Right? Remember Baylor and TCU couldn't get in.
There was always hype. Right. I mean, even last year, there was hype that, oh, man, if Penn State does this and this and this, they're going to get into the college football playoff. But no, you got to knock out Ohio State first.
Right.
And then, like I said, that fourth spot is a revolving door. Sometimes it's Georgia. Sometimes it's Oregon. But, I mean, it's only a handful of schools.
And, again, you do not need a lot of teams to make this playoff complete. Bigger isn't better here, right? I mean, that's the key for college football. It can't replicate the college basketball tournament because college basketball can go from 68 teams to 16 in a long weekend, right? That's what it does. Right. Under normal circumstances, we get the play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday. We get the first rounds Thursday and Friday. The next rounds Saturday and Sunday. And we're in the Sweet 16 by the next weekend. You can't do that in college football. You want all those teams in there. You're going to be playing for 2 months. And you may like that, but believe me, you won't. Because you really aren't going to watch Alabama beat up on the 68th best college football team in the country. You're not. You think you will, but you won't. Once it's 21-0 in the first 5 minutes of the game, you'll find something else to do. Now, you may say to me, well, hey, Tony, Gonzaga wins by double digits, and the other night I watched them, and they were up by 22 points with 5 minutes to go in the first half. Yes, but here's the thing about the basketball tournament. You may not get that one as an upset, and you may not get the next one as an upset, and heck, you might not even get the third big matchup as an upset, but eventually you will. You will. I've never seen a tournament that didn't have one. I've never had a tournament that didn't have a major, wow, look at this. What is happening to this small school you've never heard of? Look what they're doing. We always get that. You can play a college football tournament similar to the college basketball tournament for 1,000 years and never see 64-1. The talent discrepancy between those two programs is ginormous, and the game doesn't allow for the spunky team to do. You have to have a complete and utter breakdown of that top school. You know, that's why I said when Appalachian State, when they beat Michigan that year, people forget Appalachian State was like a two-time national championship team. Like, they had athletes. Now, it's still a shocker. It still blew people away. Michigan was seeded fifth, but they were seeded fifth in the preseason poll, which means we really didn't know what Lloyd Carr had at the time. But when you have seen a body of work, when you know exactly what the football team looks like when it gets to the postseason, you're never going to see that. Never. So slow the roll of how much fun it is in March. And, boy, if we could just do this for football, it'd be better. No, it wouldn't be better. But you know what would be better? A better system and a better format than where we're getting right now. It's time for it. Look, if I go out to build a house, if my wife and I are living in a rundown apartment and I finally say, you know what, honey, I got some money. We're going to build a house. And she's like, oh, great. Finally, we get out of this place. Oh. So we meet with an architect and we design the house and we buy the land and we buy the material. We get the construction crew comes and then they build the house. But you know what? The plumbing is bad. You know, the foundation needs work. Whoops, we've kind of forgot this needs to be fit. We need to add this. It's still better than where we left. We're not asking to go back to the rundown apartment. We're not being asked to go back to living with our parents. We still want the house to be built. It's just that what they've created needs work. It needs tightening up. So let's do that, right? Your idea, Ron, about a conference championship, the conference tournament, I think that's the right idea. I think it's the right idea to go. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along. More of that and also the latest on the Deshaun Watson situation, which is getting more tricky. So continue with Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk more. The Deshaun Watson situation's getting interesting. His lawyer has spoken out. The other lawyer. What's the other lawyer in a civil case? I wish I was an attorney.
Prosecution?
Is that what they call it in a civil case? I don't know. Anyway, the one who's making the claim for the women.
The lawyer for the plaintiffs.
There you go. That's a better way to put it. Good. Thank God
you're here.
Tony Busby. I would have stumbled across that. Tony Busby. He's made a statement, too. So now they're actually exchanging statements to the media. We'll get to that in just a minute. Real quick. So you were talking about the possibility of, if college football wanted to add an element of March Madness to what they do in December and January, it would be to duke it out in the conference tournament and then...
Yeah, but then I guess you would have to allow for a wild card. You would have to expand the current playoff format because, I mean, say Alabama has a bad day and is out, but, you know, year after year, they're the top team.
Is that a problem, though?
I don't know. I don't know if it is, but I feel that there would be a huge outcry, say, sorry to pick on you, Tony, but say South Carolina just goes on a run.
Sure.
And just, you know, just wins game after game after game. Is South Carolina worthy of that playoff spot?
Well,
over an Alabama team or, you know, a Georgia team that, you know, these are the top two teams we see in the playoffs year in, year out.
Yeah, you make a good point. Look, if college basketball said, all right, our regular season doesn't really matter much because we have this big tournament, but we're going to change the game. So we're going to play the regular season, and then you're going to play your conference tournament, and then only one team from the conference tournament is going to get to go. It totally devalues the regular season. It takes the regular season, and I mean, it's already devalued in essence, but we still use it to create this 68-team thing, right? I mean, we still go to the KenPom rankings and the net rankings and all these other things based on your regular season numbers. But if you had a conference tournament, if college basketball said, well, we're not doing 68 anymore, we're only going to do conference tournament winners, you've taken the entire regular season and flushed that down the toilet, and then you've made this small local tournament the only thing that matters, right? Get into that, and then you get to go. So that's what we would be asking college football to do if we put that same parameter on that. When people tell me, fill the college football playoff with only teams who won the championship. Okay, but if you are a bad team that wins a bad division, does that mean you get to go to this because you had that one cool magical afternoon in Atlanta beating an undefeated Alabama team? I don't know. I don't think that's the right answer. I do think there has to be a, like you said, like we do have to account for a good Clemson team not winning the ACC championship game. We should account for that. And nobody should, you're right. We need to have an element of wild cards in there because it does, you know, we need the tournament to have a little bit of bite to it. Right? But here's the one problem. In college basketball, if you're recruiting in the Power Five conferences, you get to recruit kids and say, get to March Madness, man. We get to the tournament. We may not win the tournament, but we get to the tournament, and one year we might. With you, we might. When we discussed this a number of times with college football, who gets to do that? In college football, who gets to recruit by saying we go to the playoff all the time? I mean, kids are smart. They know in football it would take more than them in their 4 years to turn a program around. And all of a sudden, if I decide if I'm a star quarterback and I'm going to go play at South Florida, all of a sudden we're going to do what Boise State and UCF and Cincinnati couldn't do. Get in? No, it's likely never going to happen. But in college football, college basketball, it can. It may be not like an Oral Roberts situation. When you're recruiting at Oral Roberts, you're not saying, hey, we could win the national title. No, you basically are like, man, we can win the summit. We can play in March Madness, but it's unlikely we'll win it. But You could do that at Florida State. You could turn Florida State from a non-basketball powerhouse into an ACC regular season power. You could do that and then let the chips fall where they may. We shall see. But I think the overriding point this morning is all these articles that I'm seeing of saying we need to do a March Madness in college football. Don't just say that to say that. Tell me the plan. Because I've heard this for my whole life, that college football needs a playoff. And then they give you one, and it's like, yeah, that's not good enough. It stinks. It does stink. I'll be honest with you. It stinks. I don't like it as much as I like March Madness, and I love college football. It's not well done. It's not well put together. It's not. Do you remember that year when it was on New Year's Eve? That was such a disaster. Remember that?
Yep, I do.
It was an absolute marketing disaster.
Hey, as long as you're done by midnight, you'll watch football, right?
Yeah. They thought they were trying to convince you. Like, I remember Sage Steele on ESPN was like, they showed New York and all the thousands of people that were in Times Square from like 6 o'clock in the morning, right? Who had to stand there. And like, oh, they all are looking at their phones. They were not watching any second of college football while they were waiting for the ball to drop on New Year's Eve.
The best thing they could have done is throw it up on one of those gigantic screens in Times Square.
And people wouldn't have cared in New York if Alabama was playing Clemson.
Nope.
Or Washington or whatever. They're like,
nah, they got no skin in the game.
I don't care. I don't have no interest in this. Right? That's just the nature of it. Right? I mean, I tell this story all the time. It's worth repeating how college basketball does just sort of integrate into the fabric of the sports culture. I remember when I was in March of 92, I had tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks play Hartford, and I was a Blackhawks fan, and a buddy of mine was supposed to go, but he had to cancel at the last minute. So I asked my father, I was like, you want to go down to Hartford for this hockey game? It'd be kind of fun. It was like a Saturday. He's like, sure. So we went down to Hartford and we sat in the hockey game, just got father son time. I was in college at the time, just chilling with my dad, and we were sitting there watching the game, and a guy with two beers in his hands comes to the terminal, right? Comes out to the arena. He looks up at us and his buddies behind us and he yells, Duke, Kentucky, overtime. We all left. The whole arena left. Now, the game, the very famous Christian Laettner game, was on every other TV around the concourse of the arena. Every other television was packed with people watching the overtime of this basketball game, not watching the hockey game, of which we paid money to attend. So, and then when the timeout happened and Grant Hill's got the ball and Mike Krzyzewski's drawing up a play, and everyone was screaming like, no Tate George, no Tate, because Tate George was the one that, you know, he had a shot, like a last second shot for UConn. We're all like, oh God, no, like don't. And then the ball came into Leitner's hands and everybody just went, oh no. Turned around and knocked down that shot. And the hatred for Duke just filled the arena because Tate George had hit a shot against for UConn that thought they were going to beat Duke. And then Leitner hit a shot against UConn in his sophomore year that beat the Huskies.
That's funny.
And so here in Connecticut, I'm in Hartford, the arena, and everyone's like, really angry that Leitner and Duke won. That's the fabric of it. I got to be honest with you. I don't think that happens in arenas of college football. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that.
No, would it have been projected when Tua threw that overtime touchdown pass?
Yeah,
to
Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith. Thank you. That's the equivalent, right?
Right. But do you think a Portland Trailblazers game, people were going to leave that? Let's just throw that out there. Would leave that to be just on the edge of their feet of an Alabama-Georgia national championship in Portland, Oregon?
I mean, you might get a few.
Right. How about Detroit? How about Chicago? How about Boston? How about Seattle? Like, would they leave what they were attending to see Tua throw this pass on fourth down of all downs?
Well, because the other problem,
because
that was against Georgia, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's the other problem,
that's
too.
As south as you can get.
Yeah. I mean,
Georgia, maybe, Alabama for the national championship.
Maybe for, like, if it's an Atlanta Hawks game, Maybe it happens.
Absolutely. No. Maybe it happens. Absolutely.
But that's my comparison, is that, you know, it's regional. Yeah. I think it happens there. But like you said, Pistons game, Bulls game, nah.
Michael will tell us on Twitter, Atlanta is a Georgia Bulldogs town. That is a big deal. So, yeah, that would happen. Would it happen in an Orlando Magic game? Yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina? Yep.
SEC country.
SEC country, sure. But Portland, Oregon? No. No. It doesn't have that same pull. It wouldn't have that same... Like, if you were in a Portland Trailblazers game and somebody said, yeah, Alabama's driving and they got fourth down. I'm like, all right, just tell me what happens.
Well, okay, but what's the solution? Because eventually it's got to get fixed. This playoff format. I mean, the bowl games are outdated,
right?
I mean, we don't really care that your seven and six team is going to the Pinstripe Bowl. We really don't.
Right, we don't.
Yeah, we. You know, it's blasted all over the place, and we're always throwing the same rhetoric that, well, you know, we got sponsors tied to this. We'll never get rid of the sponsors won't give it up. Then we found a way to make the Rose Bowl part of the playoff fabric, or the Fiesta Bowl, or the Orange Bowl, part of the playoff fabric, where we still keep the Rose Bowl, and it's meant to be. It's no longer Big Ten versus Pac-12,
right?
But
right.
We still get the Rose Bowl.
Michael corrected me on Twitter. The Tate George shot was against Clemson. Yep, sorry about that. I messed up. Scott Burrell threw him the ball, so it was very similar to what Duke did.
Technicalities, but, Michael.
I was 30 years ago. I forgot. I just remember everyone going, no Tate George. And I think that's the reason why they didn't want the same thing to happen with Duke. I think it's an interesting, like I was saying earlier, I think you're right. I think the powers that be at college football have to admit we may have to go back to the drawing board on this. Right. And it's hard for them to do. They barely gave us this, right?
Right.
They fought this for decades.
The original argument, too, is like, hey, right? If you don't like the playoff, we'll go back to the BCS.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. Oh, you don't like this? Okay, we'll go back to those computers. You like those computers? We'll go back to that.
Yeah, let the computer decide who the national champion is.
You're right. You're right. You know,
I know there's tradition in these bowl games, but... You know, it's just we're not as a public that thrives on finding the best of the best, and we want the best to play each other. Bowl games don't do it anymore.
We don't. And the other thing too is in this on the same argument, we are a sports society that is okay if you go through a tournament and emerge as champion, even if your regular season didn't really warrant any championship consideration. We are cool with that. You know, we'll take Danny Willett winning the Masters. He showed up, he played better than everybody for the four rounds, and he gets a green jacket, and he gets to be in the champion's dinner for the rest of his life, even if he doesn't do anything.
No,
we're okay with those things. We're okay with an 8 seed winning, an 11 seed getting to the finals, because we set the rules and you play by the rules.
Yeah.
Here it is. Do your thing.
What's the worst case scenario? You have a forgettable national champion. Like, yeah. Danny Willett's forgettable.
Right.
We don't remember him. Trevor Immelman. He's forgettable that he won.
College football wants none of that. None of that. College football would say, oh my God, what do you mean a 9-3 football team could be the champion? No chance.
Yeah. Instead, we're going to be fed the same teams year after year after year.
So go unbeaten or lose a game and two, maybe if you play in the right conference, and then you get a chance to do this. But if you win, if you lose three, we're never going to put you in a position to hoist a trophy. You're out of your mind. That's what college football clings to, that every other sport in the country does not cling to. Right? No, nobody clings to that ideal. College football clings to it. Basketball, college basketball is more than happy to give Oral Roberts the championship if they make it all the way and win it all. And nobody will complain about it. Not one person will say, this is undeserving. Right? If they were to do it, everyone would say, of course, they're the champions, of course. This is the setup. And college football goes, no, not for us. We're not doing anything like that, even remotely. So that's what you're going to start seeing in the next couple of days, of people just going, give me that in football, but you got to give me a better plan. All right, it's Sports Map Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, as we continue.
This
is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up next hour, we'll get more into the Deshaun Watson situation, I promise. We'll also have the good, the bad, and the dumb. And our good friend Lee Ellis is going to join us. The Aussie is going to talk some basketball with this NBA, which we have not been talking about for the last couple of weeks, but we got to get to it because LeBron's out. Utah's been playing good. You've got the Eastern Conference up going up and down. A lot of interesting things in the NBA. A little, I don't want to say it's a playoff primer. We still have a couple of weeks, you know, left because we got a late start. So we got a lot of games left. Playoffs aren't going to start in traditional April time. They're pushing it up, obviously, because of the late December start. But we'll get at least a second half push. What is some of the expectations going in to the latter half of the season with Lee Ellis, one of our favorite basketball writers from The Athletic. All right, so that's all coming up in hour number two. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, we'd love to hear from you at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we come up and continue along on Sports Map Radio.